Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is not for the faint of heart. This is not for the soft skin. Not a day like today. Oh, no. It's Overreaction Monday. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And we are in hour number two. And that first hour, as you got a little taste of it, if you missed it, all full of that kind of energy. So keep bringing it. Because Bart, you warned Dolphins fans about the upcoming schedule and your concerns about how they could fall out of things because it's a tough schedule. It's a very challenging one. And you said going to San Francisco, it's not going to be easy against that defense. And all of the Dolphins fans, they called Thursday. They nonstop. Wednesday, Thursday. They were calling Friday when you weren't here. And they were getting on me about what you said. And then today, we got a couple of calls, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah, where's that energy?
All of a sudden, very quiet.
And here's the thing. This week is a must win.
Ooh.
It's a must win because if you lose to Herbert, but guess what? You got to fly. I don't know if they went home, but they have to fly all the way back to L.A. Mm-hmm. And playing and flying in L.A. time zones, differences, it is unique. And Justin Herbert can get hot and he can put up 35 to 40. And if he got the ball last – and if Joey Bosa's back, now they have two pass rushers that can really make it tough for Tua Tagovailoa. If he thought last week was bad, you better hope Joey Bosa's not back. Big Bro ain't back because Little Bro just smacked you around like you was his food. So now if you talk about Herbert, so if you don't win this week, going into Orchard Park,
oops.
In the elements? Listen, you went out west and couldn't handle playing on that grass out west, wind, the elements, the time difference. What the hell you – and listen, I don't know what time that game is, but I guarantee you if the NFL can flex that to Sunday night or flex that to a 4 o'clock game and you're going to be out there when the sun is down in Orchard Park after losing two in a row? Oh,
I just got
to
chill.
God.
I just got cold thinking about
wait.
It.
Bill Mafia going to be out there putting mustard and ketchup on their nipples, ready, screaming.
All right, so tell you what, before we get back to our calls, let's get into some other games because you definitely have given your take on that game and what you saw from the Dolphins or didn't see. And, of course, what the Niners had to do, and then we also talked about where they're going from here with the injury to Jimmy Garoppolo with other options that include Baker Mayfield, who reportedly will be released if it's not happened already by the Carolina Panthers. Would that be one option for them? But, Bart, in the meantime, let's just go around the league as well and get some just takeaways from other games and other storylines in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, you want to start?
I
want to start
kind of hoping we'd get a little bit of music there, but that's all right. Okay. There we go. Now we have the music I was hoping for. That's why I paused for dramatic effect. So here's a few other games to talk about, and one of them includes – well, it's two storylines out of one game. It's the Broncos Ravens, whatever that was, a 10-9 finish.
They should play us for Washington.
Where the Ravens, you have Tyler Huntley, who I know you love, gives you the 91-yard drive to win the game at the end. So somehow, some way, the Ravens get the win despite, though, and this is the first storyline let's get to, Lamar Jackson injuring his knee. Now, they don't expect it to be season-ending. They do have some more tests to get to, but the way Harbaugh explained it, a number of days to weeks that they will be without Lamar Jackson. They are 8-4. They were also 8-4 last year when he injured his ankle in week 14. They lost their last five games, as you know, Bart, and did not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is there major concern now for the Ravens?
Well, the concern is even with Lamar Jackson in the lineup, that offense looking up. They weren't moving the ball. Now, but you got to keep it in context. Like I told you, you always got to keep things in context. The Denver Broncos defense don't give up. They have the number one scoring defense in the NFL. They don't give up more than 17 points ever. So I don't know if it was more about the Ravens offense or the dominance and greatness of the Denver defense. So I'll be able to assess a little bit more. This is why this – the reason why this year is different is last year, remember, they lost tough games to, I believe, New England, or I know they definitely lost a tough game, you know, to Green Bay with Tyler Huntley. All the games were tough. They don't have that schedule this year, right? They have the last game, if Lamar Jackson can come back maybe for the division to beat Joe Burrow, they can still win the division. Because when you look at Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, they still have to play the Buffalo Bills.
They have tough games, but the Bengals went into – I mean, they could beat Kansas City
But it's
on the road, at home. It doesn't matter. Playoffs, it doesn't matter.
But it's a pick 'em. They match up very well with them.
So the bottom line is you're not concerned.
I'm concerned a little bit, but I'm not concerned that they won't make the postseason.
It's just amazing. It's the same thing as last year. And by the way, for Lamar, I mean, when you're in a contract year, this is certainly not the way you want it to go. But on the other side, on the flip side of this game, though, Bart, is something you just mentioned. That is the Broncos defense, which, you know, again, it has been dominant this year.
They're the best in the NFL.
But let me give you some offense production over the last four games of this losing streak. 10 points, 16 points, 10 points, 9 points. I mean, Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett, this is a gigantic failure in Denver.
I think he's one and done. It is no way this guy can keep his job.
You're talking about Hackett?
With being this bad. Russell Wilson, they have to keep his job. He has to keep his job. Man, I would try and I would give Seattle a fifth-round draft pick to ask Drew Lock to come back. I mean, I just need somebody behind them that can be somewhat productive with this unit. Mm. And this isn't a team that doesn't have equal talent on the offensive side of the ball that it has on the defensive side of the ball. And Russell Wilson was supposed to be the difference. And listen, you talk about him and always – I understand, Russell, the glass is half full all the time. But at some point, you got to say this sucks. At some point, you got to say this is horrible.
Well, all right, let's hear from Russell Wilson after the game and just see, you know, how he's feeling about this inept offense.
You know, definitely winning is a habit, and losing can be one, too, if you let it. I talked to the guys after in the locker room, and I'm just telling them that at the end of the day, there's two things we can control, is our attitude and our energy. And if we can control those two things in the midst of the storm, we're going to turn this thing around. Obviously we got a lot of tough games, tough challenges coming up, too. So we don't have time to sit and sulk. We have time to just get better. I think that the best thing about these guys is they're giving everything they have every play, every moment. We want to win. We don't try and do everything we can, and we just got to be better. Everything is
awesome. Ooh, that's hard. That is hard to hear, because at some point, people who are leaders on the team before Russell got there need to say, that's the problem, Russell. We don't want to hear from you. You're not our spokesman. You sit your ass down and shut up, and you worry about playing better. Because guess what? We only want to hear from people that are producing to talk. When you're playing bad, it's your job to shut up and you play better. Because everybody on that defense is playing great at all pro levels. You're the one that's sinking this ship. So you need to shut up and listen and follow, because you can't lead if you're playing bad.
Oof. Strong words there. There's no doubt about that. So issues there. But he did want to let everybody to know that he did talk to the team, because, of course, there was a bit of an issue as well. Bart, how do you feel about ties in the NFL?
Hey, if you get two ties, that's a one. That's like two negatives being a positive.
Right? So the Giants-Commanders game was actually a pretty good game.
Like, it was.
You know, it had a compelling finish. Taylor Heineke, again, I mean, just finding a way to get it done late. And they get the touchdown late. They make it 20-all. Go to overtime. At the buzzer, you have a long field goal attempt by Graham Gano. It falls short, and therefore it ends in a tie. And so the Giants had a chance to walk off with what would have been a huge win for them, all things considered, where they are physically. Instead, it turns into a tie. Is this going to cost either team?
Well, I don't think it costs either team, because that half game actually is good for tiebreakers, right? Because you look at it like
they're basically battling each other, are they
right?
Not?
My point. But guess what? In 2 weeks,
they play again.
After the Commanders get to go to Cabo and relax, because they haven't had their bye yet.
Yes.
They're going to come back on rest, and they're going to see the same Giants team. Their next opponent is the Giants. The Giants, you know, have to have to sit, figure out, you know, how they're going to win a game, right? Because they're now when the Commanders come back, all things will be equal. They'll have the same.
Well, we
wins
all know
and
what next. Yeah. Well, we know what next week is bringing for the Giants, of course.
Yeah,
it's the Eagles.
Yeah, it's a tough out. So yes. if they lose, then they fall behind, and then that becomes a must win because it's all divisional games now, baby. So now, like, listen, the Giants had some easy games in between. Now it's time to get busy. You're going to come off the Philadelphia Eagles, and let's hope that you're even healthy, you know, when you have to deal with a fresh, rested Commanders team, and then they have Minnesota. I mean, and then they have the Eagles again. So, I mean, listen, Daboll has had a tremendous coaching debut. He's done a great job. Should have been candidate for Coach of the Year, but you can't get him Coach of the Year if he can't find a way to get this team in the playoffs. And for this team to make it to the playoffs, they got to beat Philly twice, either Minnesota and the Commanders. If you do that, he earned that right.
All right, let's get one more game in here because this one was one we just kind of lightly mentioned the first hour, but when you see the final score and you also understand the two teams, so it was Tennessee and it was the Eagles, two teams that obviously are going to do what they can. They can run the ball, but you've also got the Eagle defense that you thought would be susceptible to the run. They have been susceptible to the run. They've had a hard time stopping it, and they're facing one of the best runners in the game in King Henry. But instead, they opened up a can. 35-10 was this win, and it wasn't as much about the run as it was about A.J. Brown. Revenge game, 119 receiving yards, two touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, once again, very, very impressive in what was another win for this Eagles team that machine just keeps rolling.
Yeah, I mean, you got to tip your hat, right, because their manhood was challenged. And, you know, them going out and having this type of challenge late in the season. And what I like about it also is it wasn't a lot about Jalen Hurts and the RPOs and running the football. This was him being surgical from the pocket, which sometimes we don't give credit for him doing, right? A.J. Brown went for 100, but also Devontae Smith went for over 100 as well. If you look at, you know, what he did, you know, he probably had, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He had 9 different guys catch balls. So that means that he was doing his thing, right? So then also you got to look at, you know, with what they did in trying to address the ability to stop the run. You know, Linville, the young rookie is back. You know, and Dominican
Sue.
Jordan Davis back. Hargrave balled out. Right, so now they're getting healthy back in the interior. So now, when you think, okay, we can just run the ball on them, not so fast, because they're starting to plug up some of those holes. So they're going to be a tough out, and I can't wait to see the second matchup between the Eagles and the Cowboys, because then we can say who should be the favorite. Because then, even though the Eagles should be able to win the division because they only have one loss so far, it'll be more of a true test once they play the Cowboys with Dak Prescott. So we'll have an indication if they play a third time which way it would go or could go.
I mean, 11-1. You can't make any other argument than that. 11-1 on the season the Eagles are, and they just continue to roll, even against what we thought. This was going to be a challenge. It didn't feel like a challenge, not at least on this Sunday. All right, Bart, we'll go around the league a little bit more with you a little bit later on. We've got calls, though, to get to on Overreaction Monday at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. So we'll get back to the calls here in just a few seconds. But first, do me a favor, Bart. Tell me about Grainger.
Oh, yeah. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger's here for you. And they're always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support, experienced staff, and curbside pickup at 250 local branches. And you can get free access to product specialists ready to help you track down those hard-to-find items. Plus, Grainger's commitment to being your safety partner can help keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by.
That was an overreaction.
Overreaction Monday.
That was uncalled for.
On Barton Hahn.
All right, we head back to the calls on Overreaction Monday, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart, what do you say we go to Bermuda?
Let's do it.
Oh, all right, because George is calling us from Bermuda. George, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I'm great.
You must
so,
be.
So, just curious, what happened 2 weeks ago between the Colts and the Eagles?
It was a tough game. Very tough game.
Okay.
That Saturday's first.
It took everything that the Eagles had to get it done.
That's right.
I agree. That's not the way it happened yesterday for the Cowboys, but they crushed them.
I mean, that fourth quarter was crazy. Let's talk about that fourth quarter. Is not you that that's unique. That rarely happens. It goes that bad for any team. Before that happened, it was 19-21. So, I mean, listen, let's keep it in perspective. I understand that sometimes the football guys, fumbles happen, turnovers happen, and they come in bunches. But what all we're saying is you can't put them ahead of a 11-1 team that beat you, yes, with your backup quarterback. But this team is 11-1.
Bart, let me ask George what you're asking him. I'm going to ask it simply like this, George. So do you believe – what I'm reacting to is what ESPN analytics are saying. And I got to ask you yourself, do you honestly believe that the Cowboys should have a 50% chance to make the Super Bowl over the Eagles having just a 30% chance based on analytics? You think those numbers make sense to you? And 31% chance to win the Super Bowl versus 13 for the Eagles. Do those numbers make sense to you? That's all I'm asking.
Probably even in my mind.
Okay, that's fair.
That's my opinion.
So you agree with me?
Let me ask you this. Let's play. I love playing this game.
Sure.
I love playing this game. Who would you rather? Who would you rather have, the offensive line for the Eagles or the offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys?
I would rather have the defense of the Dallas Cowboys.
No. That's not the question. What's the question? Yeah. We're playing rather. Who would you rather have, that offensive line or the Dallas Cowboys offensive line?
I guess when Tyrone Smith comes back,
we'll see
where the Dallas Cowboys
George doesn't want to play. We'll let him go.
So the answer is
Bart, we let him go. We let him go because he didn't want to play the game.
Because he damn sure didn't want to go to the receivers.
That's called task avoidance,
yes.
What George was doing there.
He damn sure don't want to go to the receivers either.
He was not going to give you what you wanted. That's what George was doing there, and that's all right. We're okay with that. More of your calls. Let's go. Lou in Ohio. What's up, Lou?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, the last caller just kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I was wondering why Bart's a Cowboy hater. He's always seeming to knock the Cowboys down, and I was kind of making the same point as the last caller. Eagles did play the Colts a couple weeks ago, and it was a squeaker, but I'll play the game with you if you want to play with which offensive line.
Okay. Let's play the game. What offensive line would you rather have?
To be honest, Eagles have a great offensive line, and so do the Cowboys. I take either one of them.
No. He's saying it's a push.
It's
not a push. You know, you'll have more Pro Bowlers this year outside of Zach Martin.
But Bart, that's his response is he'd take either. So that's a push. All right, what's next?
It's not a push. We can't. If he's not gonna play the game right, it's more pro.
Look at the offensive production. No.
It's more Pro Bowlers on the Eagles side, and you know it, and I know it, than it is on the Cowboys. So that's 1-0 Cowboys. Who would you rather have the pair of receivers?
Probably the Eagles.
Okay.
That changes if you get OBJ.
No, OBJ got two ACLs. You don't even know what the hell he is. How does that change? Come on, man. Let's play the game for real. Tight end.
Okay.
Tight end. Goddard or your guy?
Are we just – okay, so now the Eagles, what's his name? He's out right now, so I'll take Dallas' tight end. They've got three tight ends right now.
Okay.
You got Ferguson. Okay. You got Dalton Schultz. You got Hendershot.
Okay. Goddard and Schultz. We going right there. Who do you got?
How can I do Goddard? He's out right now, so I'll take Schultz.
Is he done for the year? Okay. All right. Let's go running back. You got running back. We'll give you running back.
Oh, definitely Dallas.
Yes. Okay. Let's go cornerbacks. Big play Slay, Bradbury. Big play Slay,
he's talking about
Bradbury.
Corners. He just lost another one, by the way.
Listen, Diggs.
No, play the game. I don't want to hear nothing.
Okay, but listen,
we got a break. We got a break coming up. We have a break coming up. You got to play the game. Cornerbacks, big play Slay and Bradbury.
I'll take the Eagles cornerback.
Okay. Interior linemen. Fletcher Cox, Davis, and Ndamukong Suh, Linville Joseph, and Hargrave. Who you got?
I will take the Eagles interior linemen, but I'll take Dallas' defense as a whole over Eagles.
Oh, okay.
But you're right. The Eagles interior linemen are better.
Let's go quarterback.
Let's cut to Chase.
Dak Prescott. Sorry, you hate. Did you say quarterback?
Quarterback.
Yes.
Yes, Dak Prescott. And you hate Dak Prescott.
I don't hate Dak.
Always riding on Dak Prescott. Look at the numbers.
I don't hate on Dak Prescott. I said Jalen Hurts has passed him. Because you know what? Right. He's more dynamic with his legs, and that's how you win in this league.
Yeah, let's leave that there. Because, again, you know what you're getting right now is what I think is more accurate, and what's what the previous caller said, is that it's kind of like the 50-30 thing that our analytics are giving us. To me, I think that's so out of whack. If you were going to put them at both, like let's say both have like a 30% chance, I would probably buy that a lot more. I don't think there's a great divide between these two teams and their potential. That's what I think the analytics that I just read to you before blows my mind about. It's like you're telling me that the Cowboys have a 20% greater potential to win a championship over the Eagles after what we've seen all season with the Eagles. I'm not buying that, and I think that's what a lot of people are agreeing. They are a lot closer. I don't think there's a great divide between these two teams, which is going to make this finish in the division and also in the regular season in the NFC so compelling. I'll tell you what, though, Barb. What does Mike Tannenbaum think about this, about what the Niners should do now with Jimmy G's injury, what's going to happen in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson injured? What do you think of ties in the NFL as well? So let's talk to Mike Tannenbaum, all things NFL next. We have your calls. We'll keep them going as well on Overreaction Monday. It is Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, presented by Progressive Insurance. Say, we all know the game isn't over till it's over. Next time you need parts for your car, don't call it quits. Go to eBay Motors. They have 122 million parts to take your car into overtime. And this one won't end in a tie. Got the right parts at the right prices. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. Mike Tannenbaum joining us right now on the show. Our, of course, NFL front office insider. Mike, how do you feel about the Giants and the Commanders ending in a tie? Is that going to screw up playoff implications? Is that one of those where both teams walked away annoyed, or did you find a positive out of it?
Well, first and foremost, we should check on our colleague Steve Lee, because Steve and I broadcasted the game yesterday for ESPN Radio, and he's a four-quarter broadcaster, so from a load management standpoint, we got to clear him out. If he was supposed to do hockey or whatever, Steve is, you know, I'm a little concerned about his endurance. So he
did
was.
Did you have to carry it? Did you have to carry overtime? Is that what you're saying on the radio call?
Not only did I have to carry it, but truth be told, I am as soft as they come. I used to be this tough Northeast guy. I live in Florida now. I wore the windows closed. It was inclement weather. I think it was 45 yesterday.
Come on.
But still.
So all right. So yeah, and it's MetLife. So no, the wind's whipping around like crazy. But all right. So when that game ends, like you yourself, just how did you feel about? Obviously, just knowing how important that game was for both of these teams.
Yeah, it was.
You walk away with the tie because of the field goal falling short.
Yeah, Alan, I got to tell you, it was really weird. It was surreal. We're sitting there and we're watching the players on the field, and candidly, they didn't know how to act either. It was a really like one of those moments of like, you know, certainly Washington initially was celebrating, you know, seeing the field goal fall short, but then it kind of quickly sort of like, you know, it was like, you know, kissing your sister, right? And so I would say this, like, I think it now favors Washington from this standpoint. Like, it's a really interesting scheduling quirk, which is this. The Giants now have to play Philadelphia, which we know is going to be a tough physical game. Mm-hmm. Washington gets the week off, and they're going to get Chase Young back. So when you spin this forward, you know, 2 weeks from yesterday, you certainly think that the tie, you hold serve on the road, you don't lose the game if you're Washington, then you get them at your place, and you're going to be coming off of a bye week.
Is this a bit of a dose of reality now for the Giants? I mean, it's kind of like they were punching above their weight class, and now reality is setting in when you consider, you know, what the schedule is going forward. It seems like this is going to be a season where they're going to be close, but they're going to fall short. And Daboll has done a tremendous job, but if he's able to get this team into the postseason with the record that they have coming up, having to go see the Commanders, having to see Minnesota, having to see Philadelphia to end it. Maybe Philadelphia has nothing to play for, so they could get a win there. But is this kind of like a dose reality where, you know, it's probably a great job, but it's going to fall short of the postseason?
Yeah, you know, so interesting you say that, Bart. Like, expectations is everything in our sport, which is at the beginning of the year, Giant fans would be doing backflips to be where they are today. Mm. Now, you know, it would be a disappointment, and that's just given the incredible start they had. But what's so interesting watching this team and studying for the game, they just don't have any way to attack down the field. You know, they had the one chunk play to Slayton. But beyond that, like, they don't even really think about going out. They don't have anything to threaten you down the field. And what happens is, you know this, Bar, as a former linebacker, like, at some point when the field's compressed, it's just hard to make big plays. And it's just so hard to ask your offense to go 10, 12 plays, drive after drive. And that's why, like, to me, going back to Odell Beckham, I know it's a name that has a lot of glitz and glamour, but I think for them, he's exactly what they need, just somebody that could take that safety and move them, you know, out of the middle of the field and certainly take the top off of coverage. And I would be really concerned if I'm the Giants of, like, how I'm going to be able to score points coming down the stretch.
Yeah, that time of year. Mike Tannenbaum joining us right now. It's Barton Hunt, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Before we get to the 49ers side of the game yesterday between the Niners and the Dolphins, because obviously there's a lot to pick at on a front office side of things, I just want to get your thoughts on what you saw out of Miami in a stretch where Bart has made this clear last week that these next couple of games, including this one, is a challenge for the Dolphins. And in fact, what we just saw during the show, Bart said at the beginning of the show, watch that game now in a couple of weeks in Buffalo. If I'm the NFL, he said, I would flex that game tonight. Well, they did. NFL just announced updates to the Week 15 schedule. Triple header on Saturday. And the last game, 8:15 at Buffalo, Dolphins, and the Bills. Just puts a little added pressure on that because now it's at night in Buffalo, which you certainly know all about. Do you have any concerns at all about what you saw from Tua, how that offense kind of sputtered after that first touchdown? And, of course, the next couple of games for them are a huge challenge.
Yeah, and look, you know, I think it's sort of ironic because if we go back to the beginning of the season, you know, the Bills melted away in the heat of Miami.
Literally.
Literally. And now, under reciprocity, it's going to be a little chilly, you know, in Orchard Park come Saturday night, you know, late in December. Mm-hmm. That's what's great about the AFC East, though, right? Like, that's the way it should be.
Yeah,
So, with that said, I think the bigger concern for Miami, look, Tua didn't have his best day. That's going to happen over a 17-game season. It's offensive line. And they were missing their tackles, and, you know, they were overmatched by a really good front seven. Now, let's see what happens with the Chargers this week. You know, the crowd noise isn't the same at SoFi as it is, you know, in San Francisco, and the Chargers certainly don't have the pressure packages that 49ers do. So we'll see. This seems like, at least on paper, coming up, this is a better matchup for Miami. Now, with that said,
shootout, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, right? On the other side of the ball, you got Justin Herbert. So looks like on paper, Bart, should be a high-scoring game.
Is it a must-win for them this week, knowing what they have going forward? Because also, January 1st, they have to go to another cold environment. And I know that, you know, they should be able to beat the Patriots, but that is a tough place to play, and you don't know what the weather conditions are going to be there.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And look, you know, like, it's going to be a really important game for the Chargers. That's why they flex it to Sunday night. So should be a great game, and I can see why they flex that game.
All right, Mike, so how about the Niners side of things? What do you do? I mean, you can't possibly say that we're just going to go with Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. He's going to be our QB1. Baker Mayfield is suddenly going to be available. Do you make that move? And Barr brought up Joe Flacco. What if the Jets, you know, there is that relationship to the Jets release Flacco. Do you make a move there? What did the 49ers do now that they have lost yet another quarterback for the rest of the season?
I don't think that Baker Mayfield makes it to San Francisco at 25. So basically, after the trade deadline, all veterans are subject to waivers, and I don't think he makes it to 25 because if you're Houston, Indy, New Orleans, take a free look at a guy that could be your quarterback a year from now. There's no downside. It's $1.3 million. So I think free agency, 2023 quarterback free agency starts tomorrow by 4 o'clock.
Yeah, but that's why I say, you know, maybe Nick Foles or Joe Flacco being released, you know, nobody's going to pick up Flacco. Flacco's familiar maybe with the verbiage and the language within that. And I know Flacco's not mobile, but he showed that he still can spin the ball. And when you have the best left tackle in all of football, it gives you a little bit more security knowing that Flacco can make the throws and basically just hand the damn ball off.
Yeah, that's fine. But again, we got to remember that we are after the trade deadline. So
yeah.
Team X, and it could be a team like you don't want to go to. I'm making this up. Cleveland, Houston. You know, if you're Joe Flacco, you probably don't want to go to the Texans right now. And if the Texans put on a claim, you're a Texan.
Yeah, that is the part of the waivers that you cannot control. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on the show. All right, one last one for you because I need to make sense of this stuff. So I saw on Get Up this morning the graphic of notable projections according to ESPN Analytics regarding teams that will make the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. The team at the bottom of the top four is the Eagles, the 10-1 team. They have a 30% chance to make the Super Bowl and only a 13% chance to win it. Then it's the Bills, 35-19. The Chiefs, 41-23. The number one team, the lead dog now, the favorite, according to ESPN's analytics, are the Cowboys at 50% chance to make the Super Bowl and a 31% chance to win it. The difference between the Cowboys and the Eagles is a 20% chance to make. Like, does this make sense to you? Can you explain why the numbers would suggest that Dallas suddenly is the favorite?
Look, I'm going to really contradict myself. I don't understand the numbers, but I agree with the result. I would put Dallas over Philadelphia. And look, that's going to be a great rematch. That game's going to be in Dallas, and Dallas will have Dak Prescott. And I think what they're probably looking at is how efficient Dallas has been on offense since Dak has returned. But
199 points in five games. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll do it, right? But on paper, 10-1 is certainly the better record as of now. So you would have to check with the analytic department, Alan.
I've been begging for them to call. Have not heard from them so far. Mike, good to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the time.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN front office insider. So, Bart, he said he doesn't think Baker would even get to the 49ers through waivers.
Well,
he might
be
stuck with Mr. Irrelevant.
Well, no, it's perfect, though, right? Because if you cut Baker Mayfield – and you see that he gets picked up by Houston, then you know Houston's out of the picture for Joe Flacco. So then you say, hey, man, can you cut Joe Flacco for me?
Somehow, some way. All right, everybody, it's V-Week at ESPN, where we partner with the V Foundation to highlight the urgent need for cancer research. This is game-changing research that helps save lives. You can join the fight against cancer by visiting v.org/donate. And 100% of your donation, of course, goes directly to cancer research. Coming up, we have more of your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. On an Overreaction Monday, it's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Bart and Han.
Round we go. We do, don't we? When we come around. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Just a shout out real quick, Bart, to a friend of this show, Crime Dog, Fred McGriff. Hall of Famer now.
Yeah, man.
Good to see.
That's what's up.
Good man. It was great to talk with him when we had him on the show over the summer. Always
great personality
good to catch up.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, no, we had some fun on that interview. I do remember that. All right, we have your calls. You want to have some more fun with you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 as we continue Overreaction Monday. And let's get an overreaction, of course, from news from Bart Hunt Nation. We've got Tessa in New Jersey hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call in line. Tess!
Oh, my God, y'all. Hey, how you doing? I can't even enjoy my Lakers right now because for the first time, I got to bring things off of the bench. Like, I feel like trash. I wrap myself up in the blanket in the fetal position in the corner because when you have expectations, like, we should have won that game. Like, I feel like the tie is almost like a L. Now Washington will get all this time to rest and freaking come up with game plans and all of that, and then we got to freaking go up against this juggernaut of Philly on Sunday. I'm, like, freaking out. I'm, like, panicking, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what nobody say. At the end of the day, it's like we are playing with one arm behind our back because it's like, look at the two plays downfield. Like, I don't know why they won't come up with something like maybe putting Tyrod Taylor in sometime, like how the Saints did with Hill. Like, I don't know, but we got to get creative because everybody has figured us out. I don't know what's wrong with Saquon. I don't know if he needs a nap. I don't know if he needs a massage. I don't know what's going on, but I know the O-line was kind of trash and then kind of not. And I do know this about our defense. I don't care what nobody say. We got some dogs on defense because at the end of the day, they made plays when needed. They bend a lot, but they don't break. And I feel like defense is the one that's going to get us to the playoffs. And my overreaction is this. I don't care what nobody say. We are still making the playoffs. hands down, we're still making it. I don't care. We're still making it. And all of these freaking people jocking the Dallas Cowboys and all of that, knock it off and go sit down and take several seats. Because at the end of the day, it's no way that ESPN analysts and all of them have them over Philly. Like, knock it off. They even got them over the Bills. Like, stop it. I'm so tired of everybody jumping on that bandwagon. Because like Bart said, y'all was struggling. Like, y'all was struggling into the third quarter against the Colts. Not trying to disrespect the Colts, but I'm just saying, knock it off. But I just need y'all to help me out right now because I am freaking out a little bit because we really should have won that game. I really feel bitter. I'm salty, like Bart, half of the time. But I'm salty right now, and I really feel the type of way.
Let me ask, when that kick went off, did you think that was – I thought it was good. Like, I thought they won it.
How crazy is this? When that kick went off, I knew it was straight down the middle, but I just felt it was going to be short. It was windy as hell out there. And yeah. Excuse me for saying hell. It was windy as heck out there, and it was cold. I knew it was going to be short. I knew when Saquon and James bumped into each other, I knew that was it. I said, no matter where that kick is coming from, we're not going to get it because we needed 5 to 6 more yards. I felt he could have did 54, 55, 58 in that cold and that wind. I knew it. I knew it was down the middle. I said, watch that thing fall for short, and it did. I knew it. But it never should have came down to that, guys. You know that. It shouldn't have came down to that.
But how did you get
the fourth quarter, we had like four straightened out.
To answer your first observation, the reason why you can't treat Tyrod Taylor like Taysom Hill is because he has concussion problems and he's not as big. You know, Taysom Hill's built like Tim Tebow. He's like a little tank.
Okay.
And secondly, like when you look at it, that means that if your prediction is going to be true, they're going to have to beat Philadelphia. And,
yeah.
You know, to do that, they're going to have to be able to run the ball. They seemingly shored up their rushing offense. But just because you stop – King Henry doesn't mean you can stop Saquon. They're two different types of runners. So, I mean, you have a chance there. Minnesota is beatable, but it's going to be tough because
yes, they are.
That means your next 2 weeks, because it's in the division, are must wins.
Thank you, Tash. It's always good to hear from you. And, I mean, you know, keep the faith. I love the fact that she does at least keep the faith. All right, so we continue with the calls, obviously, on Overreaction Monday. A lot more to get to. I mean, we got to break down what we saw in Minnesota. Talk about a team that put up a fight. It was certainly the Jets that did that. But some NBA coming up with you next because there's some traveling being called, and RJ Barrett was at the middle of it yesterday.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Bart and Hahn podcast.